Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fred Actress. She just got back from vacation, so she's still kind of living it up a little bit. Actually, she's probably winding down. She's trying to get accustomed to, I guess,
the real world again.
Yeah, the real world. Where'd she go? Did she go to Puerto Rico? She went on a cruise or something?
She went on a cruise, and they stopped in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic.
Oh, the Dominican Republic. Yeah.
Which isn't that far from Puerto Rico. You know, they share an island, but different locales down there.
Yeah. Well, it's good she had a good time. It's good to see new places and all that.
Exactly.
You ever been on a cruise?
I have not.
I haven't either. I'd like to go one day, you know.
Well, you know me. I don't like the ocean, so.
You don't?
No.
I think when you're on a cruise, you can't tell you're on the ocean.
You don't think I'm going to look out over the side?
No, I'm just saying cruise ships are so big. They have casinos in there. They have theaters. They have everything in there, like shopping malls. And, you know, it's not like it's the Titanic, but, you know, they're pretty damn big, you know.
They're bigger than the Titanic now. I can't believe the size of some of these boats.
Oh, I guess they are bigger than the Titanic. Well, probably the one I would go on wouldn't be as big as the Titanic. You know, be a little small guy. Anyway, we'll get you on a cruise one day, Jack.
Someday.
So, tonight what we're going to do is we're going to go over some news. We're also going to go over this thing. I'm going to call it Hit or Miss. It's about some of the movies that are coming out for the MCU, and I want to find out what Jack thinks, and I'll give my thoughts on what I think. And is there anything on the horizon that might save the MCU for us? Could be.
I'd be surprised, but okay.
So as you know, the listeners don't really know, but I finally got my Captain America statue. I guess it was last Tuesday, and it looks amazing. It's just so detailed. And it's all polystone, and it's pretty impressive. But I'm going to confess, I didn't like it at first. You know what the big problem was.
The big problem?
Yeah.
What was the big problem?
Well, I'm giving you a hint, even with saying the word big.
The scale is just too damn big.
Yeah. Iron Studios did it, and both the Superman, the movie, which was done by Sideshow, and this one were a quarter scale statue. But when Iron Studio does their statues, they kind of like, you know, like some of those like Italian delis you go into, they put a little too much in their subs, you know, and that's kind of like what they do. They feel like they're giving you, you know, they're doing you a favor by making it bigger. But then when it doesn't match, you're like, oh no. Like when I first saw it, I was like, you know, he just looked so small, Superman, next to Captain America. But I fooled around with it. I mean, so I was looking at the dimensions of it. And so the Sideshow Collectible Superman, the movie, is 20.5 inches. And the Iron Studios Captain America is 23.2 inches. But part of that is...
character, or is that with the base?
That's with the base.
Okay.
Captain America's base is bigger, though. I mean, you got to give him that. But after I finally got things working and, you know, I was able to get kind of like a riser, but I'm using a baking pan. But it looks good. You know, it's black, it's steel, and it looks like it matches Superman's base. And once I got them on even level, they look really good together.
They do look better once you got the height situation figured out. They do look a lot better together.
And I am very anal, you know, like when it comes to stuff like that. Or is it OCD? I don't know what it is, but stuff like that drives me crazy. But I do like it. Another thing I didn't like about the statue, it's very muted. You know, like all the colors are kind of like the reds need to be redder for me. The blues need to be bluer. Even the white is kind of gray, like where his stripes are on his suit.
Well, I think that's what it was like on film too.
It was.
It wasn't, you know, it's like comparing Superman the movie to Snyder's Man of Steel. You know, the Superman is wearing the blue suit with the red cape in both, but there's a huge difference in the brightness and the is it the hue, H-U-E, and saturation?
No, it's a saturation.
Yeah.
Like the hue, I would say, is the color. So, like, say, like, I know that Henry Cavill's Superman suit, or, you know, the blue is much more navy, like dark blue, where Christopher Reeves is like a very light blue, you know. And actually, now that I think about it, I bet you Henry Cavill Superman would look even better next to Captain America, because their blues would kind of match.
They'd be closer, yeah.
They would be closer, but yeah, but I still like Christopher Reeve a lot. And I also looked, too. I looked at the Christopher Reeve is 6'4", or he was 6'4", and Chris Evans was 6 foot. So again, that was driving me crazy. He's got to be at least a couple inches higher, you know. I got it to work though, damn it. But like, you know, it's kind of like what you said, like when I was looking to buy that Batman statue, the one with the broken finger, I was like, I'm not even going to see a Jack with the cape in front of it. And you're like, but you'll know it's there. You know?
Yeah. I tell you, it's kind of crazy. Like, you know, one of the Bowen Wolverine I have, one of his metal claws popped out and I had to put it in with some, you know, super glue, and a little bit dripped down. And you know what? I see that friggin' drip every time I look at that statue. No one else probably would notice it in a million years, but I look at it and that's what I see.
Well, I guess if you remove that, you'll get rid of the paint too, right?
What do you mean?
Well, the glue. I mean, you probably could take that glue off if you wanted to.
Well, it's on metal, so I'm afraid to touch it because I don't want to scratch it up.
Oh, so it's actual metal? His claws are actual metal?
Yes, claws are metal.
Oh, damn.
And that's probably why they popped out, because a lot of glues don't hold metal as well as they do the resin.
That is cool, though.
Like I said, if you had gotten that statue with a broken hand, even under the cape, you would see it.
Yeah, and it was like four fingers, too.
Yeah, that was a lot. That was he should have been asking a lot less.
He actually eventually did. I saw it recently, and he wasn't selling it on eBay. He was selling it through some other third-party thing. He was asking for $300.
Yeah, that's more appropriate, because
yeah,
the break he was given on eBay, that was still a little steep for something that's glaringly broken like that.
Yeah. You
know, it would be like if one of Batman's ears were broken on his cowl.
Oh, and I've seen people selling that crap too on eBay. That's like, are you insane? You know, it's like, you know, like they'll take like $100 off. It's like, there's no way I would buy like a broken ear missing from Batman. It's insanity. But no, I really do like this Captain America statue. But my thing is, again, there's so many damn switch outs. There's five arms and there's two heads. And I switch them all out all the time.
Well, I think the unmasked Captain America, where it's Chris Evans, that likeness is so good. I think your statue looks better without the mask.
Yeah, and I sometimes display it like that. Like, if I have him, I just have him in the shield, and then like his like closed fist, and then if it's Cap, I will sometimes have the broken shield and Mjolnir, or I'll have Cap with the full shield and closed fist. But I definitely love this damn thing. it's really cool. Oh, so that idiot from that was going to buy the Batman statue. So I looked to see if he left any kind of comment on the feedback that I gave him. So he did. And he basically said I was a scammer. You know, he's telling the people, it's like, I don't listen to the guy because I didn't trust him. you know, and he's lying and all this stuff. And I was like, that son of a bitch, man. It's like he scammed me and he's trying to make me into the villain. So I contacted eBay. It's like, I want justice.
I want justice.
I want to fight him in the ring. Say,
dude, you got your money back. Cut your losses.
Oh, they even gave me my my foreign currency transaction fee. My credit card refunded that. eBay didn't. The credit card did. I was like, holy crap. I didn't think I was ever going to get that back.
Huh.
But I keep looking at it now when I have like the two statues basically on the top of my stereo, like with stereo cabinet. And I'm like, I'm getting another one.
I'm predicting you by this time next year, you'll have a Batman and an Iron Man.
Yeah, those are the ones I'm looking at. But right, I'm looking for the Batman because you know which why it would go really well is because he is higher than the both of them. Like he's walking down the stairs, so he'd kind of like be in the back, in the middle, and there'd be a nice little space that you can see him. So, but again, they're so damn expensive. I just gotta wait. I think what is it? Is it what's that studio? Is it JND or is it the name of the real fancy studio over in Korea?
The real fancy studio?
Well, the ones that they use silicone instead of polystone.
Oh, you would know more than I. Those are way too expensive in my
life. Oh, yeah, they are. But they're coming out with a Michael Keaton 1/3, which 1/3's too big for me. But it looks incredible. It looks just like Keaton, and then the Batman looks like Batman. So I'm thinking probably a lot of people are going to get rid of their sideshow Keatons once that comes out.
Oh, they were the ones that did that Wonder Woman.
Yeah, the ones that did the Wonder Woman.
Which was just, that was scary. Incredible.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Again, it's. I mean, if I was loaded, I'd be like that guy in Korea, like where I'd have like a small little like yard house just dedicated to all statues, but I'd have to have like, you know, guard dogs outside of that damn thing because I wouldn't trust anybody, you know?
Not my statues. Do not steal my statues.
Yeah. So this got me into watching Captain America, the MCU movies. So I watched Captain America, the First Avenger, and I enjoyed it. You know, it's pretty good. Even the costume, I wasn't as critical as I was when it first came out. Like, I just didn't like the helmet, the ears, and I didn't like he only had two stripes. But he's a cool character. And then in the second one, I started watching The Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And that one, I always would like, it's a good film, but I just don't feel like it's a superhero film. It's more like a thriller or a James Bond movie, Mission Impossible kind of thing.
Well, you see, actually, that's what I liked about the earlier Marvel movies. You know, that they were, like The Winter Soldier wasn't a superhero movie. It was a spy movie with superheroes in it. And the same thing, Ant-Man was a heist film with superheroes. I liked that aspect of it versus just making a superhero movie. That's why I think the storytelling and the scripts were just so darn good in the early phases of the MCU. And then, of course, you know, it all went to pot by the time after Endgame. So,
yeah. Well, he was good in that one, and again, I love that. Is it his shield suit or his, you know, I guess
a stealth suit. I like that stealth suit.
It's a nice suit, man. And he does in the beginning, he has a muted shield, which is kind of like there's gray and there's blue in it. I don't think there's any red in it. But then when he goes and he sees, when he's in the elevator, he's got his red, white, and blue shield, but he's got the stealth suit on. So he did the old switcheroo, you know?
Yeah, but that's just it. I mean, when he has the, and I've seen the stat. I don't remember from the movie, but seeing the statue with the stealth suit and the regular red, white, and blue shield, the red on the shield stands out. It gives it a nice little splash of color. I mean, that I saw was a nice looking statue.
Oh yeah, and that was killer, Chris Evans. That just looked just like him. But I feel like if I was going to get a Chris Evans Captain America, I had to get Captain America, not him in the stealth suit. Although that is pretty good.
You want to get the iconic look.
Yeah.
But still a pretty nice looking statue.
But getting back to that movie, he's so kick-ass in that movie. You know, I forgot like how amazing the character of Captain America is. It's not like he's, he is superhuman. He's not like invulnerable, like he can get injured.
Right.
But like, I mean, he jumps out of a plane, you know, and with no parachute. It's just the things that he does, the stuff he does with the shield, that, you know, like where he throws it at like one of those, and not the helicarrier, you know, like one of those shield ships that was going after him.
Quinjets.
Yeah, the Quinjet, yeah. And he just like throws his shield into the engine and then he runs up the side of the wing. It's just amazing. The action in that is incredible. And Winter Soldier is such a good villain too in this too. It's just so good. It is a very good movie. I definitely found more appreciation for that movie. I think it helps watching them back to back too, you know? And I watched a little bit of Ultron too. And again, you know, it's just amazing when you compare Ultron to the crap that we have now. Ultron looks amazing. You know, it's like they don't even come close to Ultron, anything that they put out, like in Phase 4 and Phase 5. And I know a lot of people ragged on Ultron. They had problems with it. I mean, I had problems like with the Hulk and Black Widow, but you know, you let it go now after, you know, it's like,
yeah, it's after what we see now.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like you go to a restaurant and you get a steak, but there's sauce on it you don't like. And it's like, oh, it's not what I wanted. But then the next time they gave you a plate of vegetables, like, do you still got that steak? I'll take the sauce. That's what Ultron is. Steak with a sauce. And anyway, he is such a cool character. So you, Mr. McCarthy.
Me?
You saw a movie recently. In the theaters.
Excuse me.
God bless you.
Yes. What did I see? I just saw Civil War last weekend.
What were your thoughts on that?
It was different from what I expected. Because rather than being more of like a war picture, it told the story of kind of like journalists who are trying to grab, you know, the one shot or the, you know, the big story during a battle. And parts of it I thought were a little too much, like when a squad is raiding a building, the photojournalists are running along right side with them. Like, not behind them, but, like, in the midst of all these soldiers.
When does it take place? In the future?
I would say it would probably take place, like, maybe 5 to 10 years ahead in time. Like, it's... Everything still looks kind of the same. And so you don't have all this future tech or anything like that. So it looks like it could be happening, you know, from now to 10 years ahead of time. And like I said, it was good, but after a while, it's like, you know, these journalists get surprised when one of them gets shot. Well, you know, the soldiers are practically tripping over you because you're running like right side by side with them. It's not like you're any distance away from them, but like, that's a little bit of a nitpick, but, it was surprisingly powerful at times. There's one scene that really kind of shook me up, and I don't get shaken up very often at movies, but they really conveyed the terror of the situation that, that the characters were going through. And it was very good. There's a young girl in it who kind of joins up with the reporters because she wants to be one. And she was very good. I wouldn't be surprised if she like becomes one of those it girls. You know, because she's got talent, not because, you know, oh, she's so hot, she's so beautiful. No, she was genuinely really good in it. Kirsten Dunst played her character was like the pissed off career woman, you know, kind of character. And they're paired up with sort of like a loose cannon type reporter guy who'll kind of do anything for the shot. But they're moving through the country, trying to get to Washington, D.C., because they want that big shot with the president, who, you know, everybody hates because he's kind of declared martial law and the country is rebelling against him. But it was really pretty good. And like I said, there were some scenes in that you're like, holy mackerel, that, like I said, truly unsettling. But like I said, it was very good.
Yeah, I am.
I'm trying not to say any spoilers. I don't want to describe the scene because if I do, it'll just spoil a big moment that you need to capture in the movie. So
you can tell me later.
Yeah, I'll tell you later. But like I said, it was definitely worth seeing. It's not something I would probably watch again. It's kind of like a one and done. But it was a good one and done.
Okay.
So
that's I heard my review
on Civil War.
See, the trailers make it look like, again, like there's, it's like the right wing, what would you call them? Frontier men, or one of the guys that they think the world is coming to an end, and like they build shelters in their backyard.
The big battle is because, you know, Texas, of course, and California kind of succeed from the Union. And they're known as the Western Front. And
wait, they're allies?
Yeah.
That's fiction. For sure. You know,
but
I would have walked out at that point.
There's certain states and areas that have kind of pulled away from the U.S. And the president is still on the East Coast in Washington, D.C. And there's large chunks of the country that are just staying out of it. They want nothing to do with this civil war, this battle going on. So these groups are like just moving through those territories. But when they get to a place that is allied with one side, you know, you see the devastation all over. And like I said, there's a lot to this movie, and it's really pretty good.
We are kind of in a dangerous time, I would say, like in the last decade or so. It's just, well, part of it is the fault of social media. I just think that people are too susceptible to it. And like all the algorithms that get thrown, like with YouTube, like if you think a certain way, they're going to send videos your way that make you think everybody thinks like you, you know? And again, like if I'm a right leaning thinker, they'll send me all right leaning videos. And if you're a left leaning thinker, they'll send you all left-leaning videos, and it just creates, you know, division within people. There's like no real conversation anymore. It's just like, oh, I hate you for thinking this way. And then it's the press too, the press, both sides. It's like, you can't trust them. They both have agendas. I mean, Fox does, CNN
they
does.
They all have agendas.
They do.
Like some of them, they all have agendas. And it's almost like it's, I don't want to get caught up in conspiracy stuff, but it almost seems sometimes that they're being intentionally divisive because it's easier to control people if everybody is split up and mad at each other.
Well, it's for money too. It's like they
money and shock, but it just sometimes I'm listening to it and I'm like, they really seriously can't believe this, you know, but they do their best just to keep people riled up to distract them from bigger issues, more important things.
Yeah, it's sad. And again, like I've known people that are like, oh, I can't watch CNN. It's like they're horrible. That's why I watch Fox. And I says, yeah, but Fox is just feeding you stuff that they know you like, you know? And it's the same thing with CNN. Like they're going to feed you stuff that they know you like. And that's why you're going to tune in all the time.
Right.
And like once they go off that, you know, that deviate from that course, they're afraid you're going to change to something else and they're not going to have you. And, you know, and they're thinking of not just one person, but millions of people. But it's sad, you know, and politicians are like that too. It just drives me insane that right. They can't work together. And I thought it's like, well, that's why we need a third party. And I thought it's like, even if we get a third party, it's not going to work out because
no, the other two are going to team up and crush it so they can just go back to fighting amongst themselves.
No, I think the other two are going to try to vie for the third party to side with them. And it's going to be, again, it's going to be lopsided. It's just, that's why we need AI to rule this country.
Oh, good God.
I know so many people are against AI. It's so funny how people freak out over it. I mean, who knows?
I've read enough science fiction to know if AI was programmed correctly, it would determine that people are the biggest problem in the world and it'll work to fix people. And then we're all doomed.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm kidding about the AI, but it's just, it's sad. We really don't have any good leaders. We don't have trustful news stations that we can watch. Like when we were younger, when we were kids, Jack, and we had Walter Cronkite and, you know, you knew you could trust him. It's like, they just looked at, they didn't take sides, or even if they did have a side, they just, their job was to report the news. Just sad. Well,
I think a lot of it is also when the networks started turning their news under the entertainment umbrella. It's not as it's not its own individual division anymore. It's kind of grouped under entertainment, which is why you see so much of the news is, you know, hey, Beyonce has a country album out now. You know, like this is entertainment news, but
yeah, and they try to get everybody against
one of those
each
stories
other.
You lead off with.
And they try to turn people against each other. It's like, do you think it's right for Beyonce to go to country? And why can't Beyonce do a country album? You know, and they just play people against each other and hate each other. It's just sad.
Yeah. So anyway.
So anyway.
Sad. So what projects is Marvel have coming up?
Oh, I was just going to tell you about X-Men 97. So
oh, okay. Yeah. Tell me about that.
I think you would like it. You know, there's some good in it. And then I still think, again, they push an agenda at times. But it seems like they're kind of following some of the comic book stories that when I started getting into them, well, I guess it is because it's in the 90s, 97. Like the last episode that they were doing was with the Kree, Shayer, was it? How do you say it?
I think, yeah, Shayer.
Yeah, the Kree Shi'ar war.
S-A-R, like Leandra.
Yeah, Leandra was there, and she was engaged to Charles. and he was walking. I specifically remember that cover, you know, Jim Lee, Chris Claremont and all that stuff. But I don't remember too much about it, but that was part of the episode that they were talking about. And I thought that was interesting because, again, I remember that stuff going on. I like that they're going back to like the source material. But the episode before it, they had it where it was Magneto, Rogue, and Gambit went to Geonosia. And again, it's the United Nations are trying to get them to be part of the United Nations. They make it like it's a paradise, it's a haven for everybody, and they get attacked by the Sentinels while they're there. And they have this one huge
Sentinels that are run by the government.
So they had this huge Sentinel with three heads. Who's that?
I think that's the Tri-Sentinel.
Yeah, he had three or four heads. I'm kind of looking at
them. I think now I'm not the, I was never the hugest X-Men fan, but I think the Tri-Sentinel, did they call it Master Mold?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, then it's Master Mold. Now, maybe I'm just thinking of them as two separate things, but the Master Mold was supposed to just, you know, he was a huge Sentinel and he would like sit in a chair and just crank out regular Sentinels like crazy.
No, he was walking around destroying stuff, and there were regular Sentinels too. And a lot of mutants died. I'm still not 100% sure who died. But before all that, they were like, oh, Magneto, you're the best. You know, we want you to be the leader of Geonosia, you know. And he says, I'll only do it if Rogue becomes my queen. And then it's like, first she's like, no. And then she's like, all right, what the hell? It'd be cool to be a queen.
Yeah, it'd be cool to be a queen, exactly.
And I guess she, like, again, there's kind of like a love triangle going on between Magneto, Rogue, and Gambit. It's like, because he can apparently have sex with her or make love.
I don't know how they explain that in the comics, but Magneto isn't affected by Rogue's absorption powers.
Yeah, it's like that.
I don't know how they explain that in the comic, but I mean, there was a point where the two of them were stranded in the Savage Land or something like that, and that's when they got together.
Yeah,
so I don't know how they explained, you know, no one else in the planet can touch Rogue except, you know, Magneto.
They probably did, and I just wasn't paying attention. But I think she's more attracted to him because of that she can fool around with him and not worry about harming him. So she kind of gives...
That was one of the big storylines with her, that, you know, she always craves that physical touch she could never have because of her powers.
Yeah.
And the fact that he could was probably a huge temptation in the reason why she was attracted to him.
So she kind of gives a shoulder, and he's pretty cool throughout the whole thing. It's not like he's super jealous or anything. Like, he's just accepting of it. But then, you know, towards the end, he ends up taking on the Master Mold and he destroys it. Gambit.
Gambit and destroys the Master Mold all by himself.
All by himself. And by doing that, he kills himself. So apparently he's dead. Like he gathers all the energy that he's got in his body and I guess connects himself to the Master Mold and just destroys it. And I forget, I think Magneto might be dead and Nightcrawler might be dead. There's a lot of them that might be dead.
A lot of them are dead from this one fight.
Yeah. And then you also have the drama, soap opera drama with Jean and Scott and Wolverine and now Madeline Pryor. So Madeline Pryor lives in Geonosia, but Scott is communicating with her through telekinesis. So So he's cheating on Gene with Madeline Pryor in his mind, man. And I guess that's turning Gene off, and she's becoming more attracted to Wolverine. So it's interesting. I mean, it's not horrible. It's just, it's different. I think it's getting better. I'll say that much.
Okay.
I think you might like it, though. I think you'd appreciate the callbacks to the comics. I like when they do that, because I was watching one of our favorite shows, Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes, and I like that they did that, like, because that's on Disney Plus too. And the first couple episodes that they have, I don't know if it's season one or season two, but like they will focus specifically on the history of like Captain America or Thor. Or,
yeah, they did. They did like each member kind of got a spotlight at the beginning of it.
It is very good. You know, I'm trying to watch that over again. There's some good things on Disney Plus. All right,
you just gotta go digging for them.
Yeah, you do, and you just have to kind of like push away from the new stuff. I watch a lot of The Simpsons. It's like before I go to bed, it's like I just got to watch one episode just to relax me.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the news first. We don't have too much news, but I figure we might as well. And some of this was like a couple of weeks old, but
we're already at what? We're closing in on the first hour, so let's go.
No, we're. Oh, are we? Yeah, I guess we are. All right, so Disney. I think it was 2 weeks ago, argued that it had a First Amendment right to fire Gina Carano for her offensive posts.
Now, you see, I don't know. I don't quite know if that is the right argument.
I don't think it is.
I think it should be. And maybe it's different in California or wherever they're based out of with that division. But it's like, what is it? Work at will? Hire at will? Like, the law is there. It's this way. I mean, a company can just decide to let you go at any time. You know, I mean, they might have things. Oh, and human resources, you have to go through the whole process of, you know, written warnings, you know, suspension. But honestly, like here in the Northeast, like you could be let go at any time for any reason because the company decides they don't want you anymore. So I could almost see Disney following that, and they'd be probably justified, unless, you know, and if she had a contract, they got to buy her out of the contract. But I have a problem when they try to give corporations the same rights as individuals. I don't believe that's right. I forget what it was. It was not that long ago, but I think it was something with either Hobby Lobby or Chick-fil-A, where they, because, you know, the owner follows a strict Christian belief system, that he was applying it to the company policy. And they were arguing that the Chick-fil-A corporation has the same right to freedom of religion as an individual would. And I don't think that's right. So that's why I also see kind of a problem with the Disney having a First Amendment right. Because as much as they would like to think, Disney is not a person, it's a corporation.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the right argument they should be trying to win or put
forward. But the First Amendment is freedom of speech, right?
Right, but that's for an individual, not a corporation. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's yeah. But is it also about hate speech? Are they trying to say that what she was saying was hate speech on Twitter?
But I don't know. But there's a difference between you saying that Gina Carano was using hate speech and a corporation making that same claim. Because by the corporation making it and having that treatment, that means the corporation is assuming all 50,000 people in its corporation hold that same opinion.
Yeah. You know, and again, yeah.
It's not up for the corporation to speak on the behalf of the people that work for it. Because if the people who work for it make a claim in the name of the corporation will slap that person down and fire their ass in a minute.
Yeah.
Even if you say something great, like, you know, I'm against murder. And then you see the claim, the views of this listener do not represent the views of WABC. So does that mean WABC is for murder? You know, it's one of those weird situations. And the best thing that Disney should just do is just shut up.
Well, I said this when this first happened, and I say this all the time. I think celebrities should keep their mouth shut. They're there to entertain. They're not there to have people think a certain way, to think like they think. You know, we want to see them on the screen. We don't want to be told what to do or what to say or what to believe in or who to vote for. And that applies to Gina Carano too. You know, I mean, she does have the right of freedom of speech, but I can't stand when a lot of these celebrities are saying stuff that I don't agree with. And, you know, like, you know, this turns me off. So,
but here's the thing. It can turn you off. Okay. And that's fine. It doesn't take away your ability to change the channel and not watch them.
No, yeah, it's true. I mean, it's so like, I know a lot of people want
to. Right. You could say whatever you want. That doesn't mean I have to agree with you. And that's where we get into, like, once again, cancel culture.
Yeah.
You know, you could say you are all for, I don't know, pink fuzzy rabbits. And you love them. You think they're the best thing in the world. Okay, well, I'm allowed to have the opinion that, no, I like white fuzzy rabbits or blue fuzzy rabbits. You know, that shouldn't make my opinion of white rabbits less than your opinion of pink rabbits. And see, that's where we have the problem with cancel culture. Because for them, it's pink rabbits or nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
Why am I picking on the rabbits tonight? I don't know.
Yeah, don't give me pink rabbits. Give me blue rabbits, all right? If you're going to make an example.
No,
I just think, like, if you're in the entertainment business, you should be careful about what you say online. Because you don't want it to offend half of your audience. For both sides. And I think it was stupid for her to kind of, like, again, like, when you become a celebrity, you do get a big egg, especially when you get millions of followers and you think it's like, well, I'm powerful. Next thing you know, I can run for president or run for office or something like that. And it's like, they just like the movies you're in. They like how you act. But, like, a perfect example is that, that idiot that used to be a Disney kid. Oh, I can't think of her name now. You know, the one that, I'm going to go crazy. We talked about her a lot, too. Demi Lovato.
Oh, you know, okay.
The crap that comes out of her mouth is just ridiculous, you know, like where she went into this mom and pop bakery and she didn't like the fact that they didn't have enough fat-free, you know, products, and and it sounded like, and I could be wrong, but you know, that she wanted people to boycott the place, you know, and you know, and she also says like that, I think that we need to change how we refer to extraterrestrial life. We have to stop calling them aliens because that's offensive, you know. And
I don't know, I'd have to ask an alien what they think of the term.
Yeah, she just needs to shut the hell up, you know. But a lot of celebrities like that too. I hate to say Gina Carano should too, but I will say that again, the stuff that she said, she said three things. I remember one thing was again with all this pronoun crap, and so she was making fun of it, and I do too, and you know, like where they were saying, well, you need to put pronouns in your profile or something like that. And she says, my pronoun is beep, boop, 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 you know?
Yeah, something like that.
And people lost their minds over her saying that. And I was like, well, is it really that bad? You know, can you just let that one go? And then the one that she got fired for was like, she was comparing their, you know, some Republicans or people that are conservative or something like that to Holocaust victims, you know. And again, she wasn't saying that she was a Nazi or that she didn't like Holocaust victims, but she just mentioned that and then boom, she was fired. Now, again, they could have spoken to her behind closed doors and said after the first two, it's like, you need to calm down a little bit. You don't want to be divisive with your fan base because we need those fans. But then again, when you look at Disney, they don't give a shit about what like Mark Ruffalo says or with Pedro Pascal says. They say awful things. You know, even Chris Evans,
a lot of money.
Chris Evans has said some really divisive things too. You know, but like if you're on the side that they're on, they'll let it slide. But if you're not, you know, they'll throw you to the wolves. I mean, I think that's what's wrong. And I think she might be able to prove that. It's like, she might say, hey, look, there are people that are working for Disney that said far worse things than me and they didn't get fired. And
she'd be right.
She would be right. But I still think, you know, again, if you're an actor, just say, oh, what a lovely day it is today. But then again, you're right. Jack probably said, it's raining where I am. What are you trying to, you know, crap on me, you know, trying to say how great your life is. I hate you. Boycott her. All right, next one. So Robert Downey Jr. says that he would happily return to the MCU as Iron Man, that it's too integral a part of his DNA. And then he says the role chose him. Thoughts?
Honestly, I'd love to see him back. Same way I would love to see Chris Evans come back, even though those characters were wrapped up in those storylines were wrapped up very well with Endgame. What they could do is bring Tony Stark back, because for a while he was a hologram,
yeah,
or an AI program, in the comics. And I don't know how they got the AI to get a body back, but, he could be like that, you know, doing something. In the comics, he was, you know, coaching Ironheart, but I honestly don't want to see that.
No.
But no, I mean, I'd like to see more of the originals back somehow. Will it happen? I have absolutely no clue. But I mean, they had a stint where Tony Stark was the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics, and they could probably bring him back as that, like a tech spy master or something. But he'd still be there. He might not be in the suit and running around trying to save the world from bad guys, but we'd still have a Tony Stark around to kind of shake things up. So I'd like to see him back, but like I said, they ended that character's arc so well. But at the end of the day, they kind of need somebody with that draw. They don't have anybody.
No, they don't.
With the draw of Robert Downey Jr. I mean, Chris Hemsworth is really good, but he's no Robert Downey Jr.
But you could tell he doesn't care. I mean, he likes
the character has a different feel.
Yeah.
Even though Captain America is the leader of the Avengers in the comics, I would say in the MCU, it was like,
yeah,
Cap and Iron Man were co-captains or co-leaders of the Avengers.
Robert Downey Jr. was the face of Marvel. I would say that. And they anticipated after he left that Brie Larson was going to be the face, but that did not work out. And
that did not work out.
Part of it was her problem. You know, it's like, again, keep your mouth shut, get paid, get a lot of money, you know, realize that if people like you, you're going to have sequels. And from what I heard, it's like when you do a sequel, say a movie is very successful and the next movie that you get 50% more of what you got the last time, you know, and then when the third one, I think they negotiate like some kind of profit sharing with that. But yeah, she kind of let that all go because it went to her head. You know, she finally got an Oscar, you know, which again, I never saw Room. I don't know if it was deserving or not, but I think again that once she was cast as Captain Marvel, she just was a little too feministic about it. And when you think about Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, now she was like the DC side, but she was humble about the whole thing.
Yeah, Gal Gadot always came off sort of like the character.
Yeah, I mean,
she was there, but she wasn't cocky. She was just very likable, soft-spoken, and she just came across as a sweetheart all the time I've seen her in interviews, SNL, you know, she always came across as just like the nicest person around. Brie Larson doesn't, you know, she just doesn't come off as a likable type of person. And I do have to say, they started working on her and she did get kind of better. But then by that time, the damage was too late.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate. You know, like,
even on the Nissan commercial she's in, you know, they softened her up quite a bit. Like when she's on camera, she doesn't seem like as smug as she used to. You know, she cracks a smile and, you know, she comes across as a lot better now than she used to. But the damage is already kind of done.
Yeah, no, I specifically remember, again, you know, first of all, it went to her head and she kept pushing the fact that she was the strongest superhero in the MCU and that she can beat all the guys and all that. She made a big stink out of that. And then she made a stink, too, that Captain Marvel is a hero for girls. And then Gal Gadot, they asked her the same question and she says, Wonder Woman is a hero for boys and girls and men and women, you know, she's inviting for all of them, you know, and that's where Brie Larson got it wrong. You know, it's like, I understand like how women did have it bad at times, but there are a lot of good superhero women, you know, a lot of hero women in film, you know. You can't make it like there are none.
Captain Marvel in the comics is great.
Yeah. Well, she kind of ruined it.
You know. Well, no, the problem is all of a sudden, you know, Captain Marvel, I bought it for years. And then they got it into their heads that only a woman would possibly be able to write Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And honestly, the books weren't for me anymore because, you know, honestly, they weren't being written for me anymore. But there was a point where she was like leading S.W.O.R.D., you know, the space version of S.H.I.E.L.D. And like I said, that was a good arc because they brought Alpha Flight in as their like support crew. And I always loved Alpha Flight. But I mean, they had some damn good stories. But like I said, then they started the relaunch with, you know, the hot woman writer, you know.
Well, let's now when you say the hot, let's put parentheses over that word.
Well, no, I mean talent, the up and coming or the the latest trending. And honestly, like I said, the stories kind of weren't written for me anymore. You know, they were written for another audience. Instead of general audience, they were written for girls and women, and it just wasn't my cup of tea anymore.
No, and I saw, like, I look at statues now a lot, and I saw this one of Captain Marvel, and I was like, that looks pretty good. And it wasn't a Brie Larson version of Captain Marvel, it was a comic book version. But then I was like, yeah, but I don't like her anymore. You know, it's because she kind of ruined the character a little bit. And I see a lot of people say that, too. It's like when Hot Toys introduces their version of Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, a lot of people are like, I'll pass. You know, it's like, I'm going to save my money for someone that's not as bitter towards men, I guess, in general.
Well, I mean, I liked the classic Miss Marvel costume. I also liked the, well, what would you call it? The black and gold one with the red sash.
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite because I thought she looked so cool like that. The red and blue, I guess it depends who's drawing it because sometimes I think it looks good. Other times I could take it or leave it. But that's her costume right now, so.
Yeah, I just don't like the Mohawk version.
Yeah, I don't like the Mohawk version either.
Yeah.
Or when they have her hair short. I don't know. I liked her with the long blonde hair. But that's just...
Yeah. So, did you see the Joker 2 trailer? I have a feeling you didn't see it.
I turned it off.
You turned it off.
I like, it came on, like, zero interest.
So, I was shitting on this movie for at least a year with Lady Gaga and then finding out there's going to be 15 songs in the movie. It's going to be a musical. Just thought it was going to be crap. I love this trailer.
I thought it wasn't. I thought it wasn't a musical. It had a lot of music in it, but it wasn't a musical. I thought that's how it was described to me, but honestly, I would have had to watch the trailer too.
Oh, well, that's the whole thing. You missed it.
Missing it, I can honestly say I won't miss it.
They had they had Burt Bacharach music, like What the World Needs Now, you know, and I think the Joker was singing it. But is it Todd Phillips? He's the director of the movie. He does something again, like where the best directors get the best out of their actors, and I even like was crapping on Lady Gaga, and I liked her in this trailer. I don't think she's a psychiatrist. Yeah, I think she's another lunatic or mental asylum patient. So, you know, like the music aspect of it, you know, I forgot that in the original Joker, that Joker basically, he fantasizes about a lot of things that he thinks are happening aren't really happening. And I think that that's where all the music aspect comes into the film. I think it's all fantasy, like where
all in doing head?
All in his head, because like, you know, the colors are very bright. They look like they're from a 1940s musical, you know? So I think that it's all in his mind. It's really weird too. Cause like they know the guy was the Joker. He doesn't have any makeup on for most of the trailer. But again, you know, I guess it's like real life. He's got a fan following and she's one of his fans. And I am looking forward to it now. that trailer definitely won me over. There's a nice little scene at the very end where she's visiting him. I guess he's, you know, he's in jail and had the divider, like the glass jail divider.
In asylum.
The asylum. But, you know, like, where, you know, like how they have, like, when you go visit somebody, they have, right, like, glass or whatever. And she takes out her lipstick and she goes, you know, I want to see the old you. And she puts a smiley face over there. And he kind of, like, moves his head a little bit. And then you see his face smile to match the lipstick. And it's, I thought it was such a genius scene. It's like, oh man, I'm sold. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And I know you won't see it, but.
Hey, I tried it. I tried the first one. I only made it about a half hour through it before I was like, this is just not for me, but I tried it.
You're lost.
So if you enjoy it, I hope you enjoy it, Mr. Hogarty, but they shall not get their $11 out of me.
So Vanessa Kirby is playing Sue Storm in the Fantastic Four. Apparently she'll be pregnant with Franklin in the beginning of the movie.
So they're getting right into it then.
Yeah.
So I guess they'll be married.
I would assume so.
At the beginning. So we don't have that, you know, big wedding issue craziness that happened in Annual 3.
It does look like it takes place in the 60s. And again, it could be from a different universe or whatever. But
that's what I've heard, that it'll be taking place in a different universe, that they'll, and then they'll eventually, through something, move over into the regular MCU. Which, didn't they do that in, remember, what was it, Heroes Reborn, when they took all the Avengers, the FF, Captain America, Iron Man, and they all got whisked away, and like Jim Lee got to do the FF for a while.
Yeah, and Rod Liefeld did Captain America.
Yes, but they ended those series where Galactus came to Earth and kind of wiped everything out, and they like kind of were escaping into another dimension or something, I think. So maybe that's what they're doing. Galactus comes to their Earth.
Could be.
And they lose, but jump the multiverse into the proper MCU, and it'll be sort of like the last scene in the first Avengers, where, you know, Cap wakes up and he's standing in the middle of modern Times Square.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could be. Yeah, and again, I'm okay. We don't need an origin story for the Fantastic Four. Let's just start them out.
They can mention it quick, like, you know, newsflash, we're following the first family of superpowers. We all remember back in 1961 when they went up into space on a daring mission, but it had terrible side effects for some of them and fantastic effects for others.
No, there was a couple of Joe movies.
Hogarty, that... Let's go to Joe Hogarty on the scene at the Baxter Building.
I was saying there was a couple of movies that, like, during the opening credits, they would do the origin story. And I think they did that with The Incredible Hulk, you know,
they did, didn't they? It was like all wrapped up and done real quick.
And then I think they did that with Punisher War Journal, too. So, yeah, do it that way. Superman 2. Like, they just kind of, like, gave you a nice little refresher during the opening credits. That's all we need. Let's get to the action. Because we've seen the Fantastic Four story so many times. Enough is enough.
But we haven't seen it done well. Well, no, I you know what? I take that back. I liked how they did it in the Fox Fantastic Four movie. I like how they did it. That, in fact, I still think that has some charm to it. It just fell apart because they didn't know how to make a good villain.
Oh yeah, Dr. Doom was the worst part of that.
Right. But I think the whole aspect of, you know, the space station being caught instead of them stealing a rocket and going up into space, I thought that was kind of, that was a good way to do it for a modern audience, I think. Plus, it gave Sue something to do because she was also a scientist, not just the girlfriend of a scientist.
Yeah, and I thought they were all good characters too, you know, other than Doom. But, yeah, whatever. So Superman is filming. And did you see that picture I sent you? David Corn Sweat. Is that his name? Corn Sweat? Jesus, change your name, bud.
No, I don't remember that picture.
He looks jacked, so, which is very easy. You can get jacked like in 5 months, especially like if you're getting like some kind of human growth hormone or whatever the hell they do to all these superheroes to make them big. And then they get their personal trainers, their dietitians, but he looks pretty good. I had arms like that once, so I'm going to be honest there. I mean, I don't look like that now, but I was like, oh yeah, he looks good. And they cast Ma and Pa Kent.
I didn't see this. When did you send
that? That happened today. I didn't send it to you. And they're a bunch of old hags.
Oh, really? They made Ma and Pa Kent really old, huh?
So, like, they could be playing Canasta with Rosemary Harris's Aunt May. You know, they're that old. I like that because I like the fact that, you know, Ma and Pa Kent were old.
I don't know. I hope they don't kill off Pa Kent too quickly.
They only did that in Superman the movie.
Well, like, they did it in Superman the movie and Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah, that was dumb, though. And he wasn't old Pa Kent, either.
He wasn't an old Pa Kent, but, you know.
He died of stupidity, Pa Kent.
That's just one more thing that why that movie had problems. Because Superman wouldn't stand there and let his father get sucked up by a tornado to keep a secret.
And Jonathan Kent would never tell his son, well, maybe you should let that bus full of children die.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now the government again is going to take you and we're going to miss you so much.
Yeah.
All right.
That was just, yeah.
Well, I am looking forward to Superman. I think that they are going back to what we loved about Superman. It's going to be lighter. It's going to be more colorful. It's going to be fun. And we need a little bit of that with Superman. Oh, you know, Henry Cavill is a good... He was a good Superman, but it just was a little too dark.
Well, that wasn't his fault. That was Snyder.
Oh, yeah. He's still talking about that crap, too. His Snyderverse. He's just amazing. He's going to make... He wants to make a director's cut of Sucker Punch.
Which was kind of a sick movie.
It was. I mean,
it had some cool visuals in it, but... Overall, it was kind of a sick movie.
Yeah, like women in institutions being raped, you know, and then I think they were
sodomized and
yeah, it's like who's asking for, you know, a director's cut? He just again, he's going to use his fan base, just saying you need it. It's going to be so much better. It's going to be 2 more hours longer. You know, screw that. All right, let's get into this. The upcoming MCU movies, and we'll call this hit or miss. So,
okay. Chat.
So the next movie that's coming out, which will be July 26th of this year, is Deadpool and Wolverine. What do you think? Hit or miss?
Story-wise or box office?
You can do both.
Okay. I think box office, it's going to be a hit. I mean, I have said numerous times, I am not a Deadpool fan, but I kind of want to see this one since, you know, Hugh Jackman's coming back and he's going to be in the yellow and blue Wolverine suit. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm not thrilled it involves the Time Variance Authority, but... I think Ryan Reynolds is going to be fun to watch because he's going to be making fun of it. So I think that's going to be a hit.
Oh, no, I think box office wise it's going to be a hit. I think it will be fun. We haven't seen anything really trailer wise with Wolverine, really.
What I did notice, they had the trailer on before Civil War.
Oh, they did.
And there's a scene where they have Deadpool walking. And when you look behind them, you see the 20th Century Fox logo, like, resting, like, destroyed in the sand.
Oh, that was, yeah. I mean,
I thought, I didn't notice that before, but I noticed it this time. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and that should be interesting. But again, I just hope that it doesn't fall or suffer the same fate as Spider-Man No Way Home, where, again, you go on so many forums and people have so much buyer's regret over that movie, saying that they loved it when it first came out, and now they think it's one of the worst movies that Marvel's ever done. And it made a lot of money. But again, that's what they wanted to do. That was their accomplishment. Not to entertain, was to make money. And I'm afraid that they're going to do that with Deadpool and Wolverine, that they're not going to focus enough on the story. And we're just going to get a lot of cameos. And it's just going to be, and then Ryan Reynolds is just going to be trying to be as crude as possible.
Mugging for the camera.
Well, they showed some footage, I think, at was it CinemaCon was last week or something. It's all dirty, disgusting, talking about dildos and his butt and, you know.
Well, that's not the preview I saw, but okay.
Yeah, it's definitely, well, it's R-rated, so it's not for kids. But I think that that's the whole thing. I think, like, now that Disney's been accused of being woke, that they're going to go the opposite end with this movie. And they're like, it's like, yeah, this is really cool. Cause like even like Kevin Feige, I think, came out on stage and was,
yeah, he dropped the F bomb.
He dropped the F bomb. Yeah. So it's like, he's trying to be cool and all that, but we'll see. Hopefully it's a good movie. I mean, I want it to be, I mean, I like Wolverine. Deadpool, not so much, but he does play a very good Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds.
No, he does. For what Deadpool is, he does a good job on him.
Next one coming out after that is Captain America Brave New World, February 14th, 2015.
That, I think, is going to be a miss.
I think so, too.
I mean, from all the talk about, you know, the latest thing I saw online was talking about how they had the crew and cast sitting around in a hotel for 2 weeks because they were waiting for a script to finally be done. I don't know how you work, how you write a movie without, well, how you start filming a movie without any kind of script. I don't get how you do that, because, well, what the hell are you doing? I mean,
well, these are
people running from spot A to spot B, and, well, we'll figure out how to use that footage somewhere, or, you know, pretend, but these are fighting somebody, and yeah, we're going to stick some CGI robot or villain in there somehow. And sorry, you need a script first before you do anything else. Just,
well, here's the thing. They did have a script. These are major reshoots, what they're doing, because they showed it to test audiences and no one liked it. It's like the Indiana Jones movie, like where they're like, no. Well, the problem what they're doing with this one, and from the leaks that I heard, it's just very, they're trying to be very anti-Trump. They're trying to make Thunderbolt Ross into Trump. He's president of the United States. And he's doing really good in the polls. The press hates him, and he wants Captain America to kind of promote him, you know, go on tour with him. And he says no. So now he wants to get revenge on Captain America. But he ends up becoming the Red Hulk. And there's an insurrection in the Capitol by the Red Hulk. It's just, don't do that. You know, it's like, again, you're going to lose 50% of your audience. It doesn't have to be that political. Well, I guess Captain America can be political, but it's just like, I don't know. I think it's a mistake. I think it should be more about Captain America loving this country, warts and all, you know, not fighting against people that he doesn't agree with, or what that's, I guess, what Marvel is doing in a way.
Right.
Yes, I would say it's going to be a miss both box office wise and story wise. And then I showed you the leaked pictures of from the McDonald's Happy Meal.
Yes.
Yeah, it just looks like a mess. You know, I don't know who that one character is. I thought it was the Black Widow, but I don't think it's her. It can't be her. She's dead. But there's a redhead girl on the bottom. Probably a new superhero. And then they have the Israeli superhero, which, I don't know. It from what I heard, I mean, so the leaks are probably true because they said that she was going to be in it and like they were going to kind of form a mini Avengers. But then they also said that Moon Knight was going to be in it too. So if Moon Knight ends up like being in a trailer, then these leaks were true.
But how would Moon Knight fit with Captain America?
Well, all the Avengers are, as usual, all the Avengers are missing. They can't answer the call, you know, because they're too busy. So Sam Wilson, Captain America, has to come up with a new team of Avengers. So he's got the Israeli chick. He's got the Falcon. He's got Moon Knight. Who the hell else was it? You know, just like some weird ones. And they have to take down the Red Hulk. It's not going to work.
If that's what they're going to do, because it doesn't sound like they even know if the Red Hulk is the villain. I thought the Red Hulk was going to be the villain in Thunderbolts.
I already not even going to be in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know what they're doing. But Captain America 4 sounds like a mess.
But again, like it's the mini Avengers or the B team that he's bringing in doesn't sound like they're even close to the A team. And that's their problem, is that they think as long as we throw out a new hero, make them diverse, people will buy into them. And they don't, you know, it's like, we want the heavy hitters. It's like, we don't want to go and watch a baseball team, our favorite team play and not see the All-Stars because they're the same team. They're just going to lose. No, that's not what you want. I mean, you're spending good money. Right. You want to see top A heroes. So Thunderbolt, speaking of that, that's May 2nd, 2025.
Now, I love the concept of the Thunderbolts in the comic because Kurt Busiek was writing it. Mark Bagley was drawing it. That's a great team for me. Where the world thought they had new heroes and they were actually the masters of evil in disguise. So that concept works really well. However, now we have we don't have established villains pretending to be heroes. We have characters that we've seen once or twice, so we don't have that sort of connection to them. Aside from the Winter Soldier. However, I'm going to say, if they do this right, I'm going to say it's a hit, because I think this has the makings to be the next Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, you have characters that are kind of obscure. But they are fun characters. I mean, I like, what's her name? Elena?
Yeah.
The Black Widow sister. I liked her in the Black Widow movie. I liked her when she was in Hawkeye. Like, I found it very funny, her conversation with Kate Bishop. You know, where she's there and she's trying to be friendly, you know, but her and Kate Bishop knows that she could kill Kate Bishop in the blink of an eye. You know, it's like people who have lions and tigers as pets. You know, you might think they're all friendly and cuddly, but, you know, in one second they could turn their head and take your head off.
So it's going to be, what's his name? U.S. agent there. Yeah. Walker.
Same thing. He could be played up as John Walker, who was trying to be a straight and narrow Captain America. But the problem is he's just off in the head somehow, you know? So, like I said, there's enough quirkiness in those characters that if they do it right, and that's a big if, it could be another Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, I'm just saying, so it's him and it's her, and then it's the other guy from Black Widow, the
right, the dad, Red Guardian, the
father figure, Red Guardian. Who else?
Let me see.
We don't know if they're going to be in the movie. You're just thinking of the comic, right?
Oh no, I'm thinking in the movie that it was Sebastian Shaw as Winter Soldier, right? Or was that an X-Men villain I just named? The Winter Soldier, Elena Romanoff. I think the guy who plays Baron Zemo, I think he's in that mix somewhere. Victoria Fontaine, I think that's her name. There's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who was Madam Hydra at one point.
I'm looking at the cast.
Maybe we'll start to see Hydra coming back into reforming as well.
Melina Volstikoff?
The girl version of the Taskmaster is supposed to be in there, but that's really not much of a character. I think
Ghost is in there too. But she's played, this Melina is played by Rachel Wise. I remember she was in the Mummy movies.
But she played Melina, wasn't that the Black Widow's quote mom?
Oh yeah, that's right.
I didn't know. I didn't think she was in it, but maybe she.
Well, maybe she's not part of Thunderbolts. Maybe she just makes them their lunch, puts them in a brown bag, whatever.
Because there is history between her and Red Guardian, maybe she'll be there in a cameo scene where, you know, the two of them are hanging out and he goes to join the Thunderbolts or something.
No, you are right. Ghost is in there and Taskmaster, the female version. Yeah.
Yeah, but she didn't really have... In the Black Widow movie, she was just sort of like a... Automacon? What do they call it? She really didn't have a personality. She was only there to be a fighting prop.
She's in the all-female superhero chick league, along with the Silver Surfer with boobs, and wasn't Ghost a male character too?
I believe so.
Yeah, they like doing the gender swap because it's what they do.
That's what they do. You're right.
Fantastic Four, July 25th, 2025.
I am hoping. I am so hoping this is a hit. However, you know what? I'm going to stay optimistic. I'm going to hope the FF is a hit.
I hope so, too. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a box office hit, though. Pedro Pascal is he the biggest star in that movie right now?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a box office draw, really. And yeah, Disney just picked him, I think, because of his politics. But I don't know. It's going to have to be fun. It's going to have to be light. It's going to have to be close to the comic book source.
And it has to be written as an ensemble piece. You can't make the Fantastic Four where, like they've said, oh, this is really Sue's story. She's the leader of the team. You know, it's got to be an ensemble piece.
Yeah, but I like what they're doing. If they're going to do it, if they start off in the past, that's a little different. We've never seen that before. And also that Sue's pregnant, you know, so we don't see any origin story. We are going to see, finally, their children, which we've never seen in any of the FF movies. So that should be interesting, too. Hopefully, you know, they'll be good. They'd be crazy not to bring Dr. Doom into this, not to bring him into the movie. They have to. Can't just be Galactus and Silver Surfer with boobs.
Well, I mean, they could do a Galactus story. They could do it.
No, I think they're going to do both.
I can't see how they wouldn't try to introduce Doom in some way. Yeah. Maybe not make him the main villain, but
I think it's a good idea if they, well, they probably will bring him in, because if they bring him in, because then he can be in Avengers 5 or Avengers 6 as the big villain, like how Loki was in Thor, and then he was the big villain in Avengers. And he's a much better villain than Loki, depending on who the actor will be, I guess.
Depending on who the actor will be.
Loki was very good.
Well, it depends. I mean, Doom was, they didn't know how to write Dr. Doom in the 20th Century Fox movies. You know? And I think Michael Fassbender would have been a great Doom, but it's the material, it's the script he has to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So they just got to get the villains right.
Blade, November 7th,
2025. When are they releasing it? December?
November 7th, 2025.
November 7th, so kind of around Halloween, which makes a little bit of sense. I think Blade could be a hit. I mean, it'll be different because being vampires, it's a different kind of... The horror genre cannot be as expensive to do as we've seen some of these other Marvel movies. Because, you know, I mean, Blade is fighting vampires. You know, so you don't have these, you know, other dimensions to kind of CGI animate. I think a lot of the effects could be done conventional. But then again, you know, Marvel loves to throw money away. You know, why put somebody in an office when you can green screen, you know, an entire office room, you know, spend that money, you know. So I'm thinking Blade could be as a hit because it's coming out around Halloween. So they'll probably have a preview weekend or a preview night the week before, because it would be like Halloween weekend. November, there really isn't all that much. And it probably won't cost as much as other Marvel movies. So I'm going to say that could be a hit for those factors.
Well, it's been problematic for a while. I think they got rid of the directors and the writers, and it was a mess. And Marshall Ali is attached, and he's an awesome actor. So I think he'll do a great job as Blade. But I think they're pissing him off, and I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves. I kind of feel like it's not going to come out. I think that there's just been so many problems that he might go and do his own thing, because he needs to do more movies. I don't remember what his last movie was, but he's a good actor. Don't waste him. Don't have him hanging around for that movie to start filming. You know, let him do an Oscar-winning movie. And yeah,
right. Don't leave him sitting in a hotel like Anthony Mackie.
Well, oh yeah, that's right. Okay. Starting to think, well, what movie was that from? But I know you were just saying it before. Yeah, it could be a hit.
It's like, can you imagine just being an actor, just cooling your heels, like doing nothing?
I'd be like, hey, as long as I'm getting paid.
Sure, yeah, but he's been doing other things, getting paid a lot more, probably.
Yeah.
So who you got next?
Avengers 5 is no longer Kang Dynasty. It's just titled Avengers 5 for now. It's May 1st, 2026.
I think the movie will do okay, but if they're expecting it to do like Infinity War or Endgame money, it's not going to go anywhere near that. So I don't think it's good. It may be a relative hit to what other movies make during the year, but it's not going to be a hit compared to the end of the first Marvel decade, or whatever you want to call it. It's not going to make the money that the previous Avenger movies made.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think it's going to make $1 billion. I think what they're going to do, and again, I didn't read this, this is my own thoughts. If I was in charge of Marvel, this is what I would do. I would bring in Dr. Doom into this movie. No Kang. Kang is gone. I don't know who the current lineup is, though. That's what scares me. I mean, if the current lineup is going to be Sam Wilson, Captain America, Shang-Chi, who else?
Awkwafina.
Awkwafina.
Because, you know, now she's a better shot than Hawkeye.
Wang. Or is it Wong? Whoever. Wong. You know, Captain Marvel, or one of the... A bunch of those Marvels, the three of the Marvels coming in there.
No, I think they'll bring Miss Marvel in, because I think Brie Larson's done. She's not, I don't think she's interested in coming back.
Yeah, I think yet. She's.
And from what I read, didn't Photon end up in a different universe or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to write her off.
Yeah, she could be just out there, and when the X-Men eventually appear, she could be with them.
But then again, yeah, Beast was in that universe.
Right.
And that's where Wolverine is in that universe, too. And so, but I think they're going to end with a cliffhanger. You're going to see Chris Evans as Captain America. You're going to see Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, maybe even Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. And of course, well, they never got rid of Mark Ruffalo as Hulk. I think you're going to see the original Avengers as a cliffhanger, and that'll be enough to bring everybody back in the theaters to make $1 billion.
Avengers 6.
Yeah, and then Avengers 6, which is apparently the next movie, Secret Wars, is the following year, May 7th, 2027. I think that's going to be a big movie.
I think that's going to be your $1 billion movie.
that's going to be the next billion-dollar movie.
You know, like that could have the X-Men in it.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four.
Anything goes, they could just throw into that.
Yeah. That's about it. You know, they didn't really, I don't know if there's a date for X-Men, but yeah, they have to be careful with that one. I still don't believe that Shang-Chi 2 is coming, even though what's the Samu Lu says it is.
Yeah, that's right. He says it's in development and they're going to start filming and all sorts of stuff.
I think that'd be a big mistake.
It didn't make that much. I what was the
no. It was like 400 million, maybe 450.
Yeah, now they're spending close to 300 million on everything. So I don't see. But you see, Disney just throws money away. So I don't know. They could make that movie and just throw money at it, thinking people are going to automatically come out and see it. And that's not happening anymore, boys.
No, and again, like he's another character. I feel he's better off with a team. You know, I don't need to see a solo movie of him. I definitely don't need to see two movies with him in it. You know, just him. But we'll see. All right, so let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell them where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can send me a friend request on Facebook. And you can also send me an email at joe@wdwnt.com. And I'm on the podcast Rusted Junk. The last movie that we did was Unforgiven. And the next one we're doing is Fight Club. You ever see Fight Club?
Unforgiven could be good.
What's that?
Unforgiven could be a fun watch.
No, it was. Yeah, I mean, everybody, we enjoyed that podcast. A lot of people watched it on YouTube, too. Like close to 800, you know, people watched it, apparently.
Hey, cool.
But the Fight Club I watched. Did you ever watch Fight Club? I have a feeling you
didn't. I've seen it years ago.
That's not your movie.
Well, I mean, I thought it was all right.
You know what sucks about that movie? I thought it was great when I first saw it. And then the second time I saw it, it was kind of cool looking to see, knowing that they're not two separate people. So it's just like he's a schizophrenic. Seeing like how like Marla talks to Tyler and stuff like that. And do they mention Edward Norton's character's name? You know, which they don't. Like you look for clues the second time. Third time you see it, you know they're not two people. You know he's just crazy. And it just kind of, it loses the fun, you know? Like once you know what the story is and how it's going to end.
Probably like, you know, The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Once you know the twist, I don't know. Like I said, I like that movie. I saw it once, but after knowing what it is, I never had the desire to really watch it a second time.
Saying Usual Suspects or Fight Club?
The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Fight Club, I saw it once, and once was enough for me.
Yeah. It's still brilliant acting, I think, all around, and directing, but yeah. All right. Anyway, so with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 10, Episode 12. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all. Be good to each other. And good night, Miss Fedra, wherever you are.